NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here with the news is Russ Ward.
Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban is en route home from Washington to report to his government on Western attitudes regarding the Middle East crisis. Eban conferred with President Johnson late yesterday at the White House. United Nations Secretary General U Thant is delivering to the UN Security Council at this hour a report on his recent peace mission to Cairo. Soviet Premier Alexei Kosygin sent a personal note to Egyptian President Nasser today. Officials in Cairo refused to give details, but the Kremlin for several days has been pledging its support for the Arab cause in the Middle East. Paris officials say President de Gaulle also has sent a message to Nasser urging moderation in the crisis. In Saigon, a new battle south of the big U.S. base at Da Nang has claimed 188 enemy troops. 28 U.S. Marines were killed. More news after this from Dodge.
Hi, I'm your Dodge Rebellion girl, introducing the new singing sensation, the Dodge Boys.
Let us tell you about a place called New Dodge City, known for cars and not Miss Kitty. The cars they sell are awful pretty, and that's what we like about a Dodge. Want more room in your next car? There's a Dodge that has more room by far.
Polara's a name and it's quite a star, and that's what you like about your Dodge.
For a package deal that'll really swing, a white hat special's just the thing.
And that special package price won't sting, and that's what you love about your Dodge.
Final top, either black or white, a big V8 that treats you right.
We could read the list all night, and that's what you love about your Dodge.
Now to put those low-priced cars to shame, Polaris price is about the same. Saving money's the name of the game, and that's what you like about a Dodge.
Hey, why do the Dodge boys wear those white hats?
Because they're good guys.
Good guys!
Once again, Russ Ward.
There was an exchange of gunfire off the coast of Korea today in the vicinity of the demilitarized zone. South Korean naval vessels tangled with communist shore batteries for about 20 minutes. An announcement from Seoul said the South Korean ship suffered no damage. There was no word on damage inflicted on the North. According to Seoul, the fighting was triggered by North Korean patrol boats, which opened fire on a fleet of fishing vessels from the South. Havana Radio today voiced a new attack on the U.S. naval base at Guantanamo Bay. An Armed Forces Ministry communique broadcast by Havana charged that a U.S. Navy helicopter violated Cuban airspace and landed temporarily on Cuban soil. The communique called it an offensive provocation, one that could lead to a serious incident. The Cuban Armed Forces Ministry said a similar incident occurred in November of 1964. Red China today demanded a public apology from Mongolia for what it called the brutal persecution of Chinese nationals and diplomats in the Mongolian capital of Ulaanbaatar. That U Thant report is just now available at UN headquarters in New York. We switch to Pauline Frederick at the UN.
Secretary General Thant has just issued a report to the Security Council about the situation in the Middle East. He says the important immediate fact is that in view of the conflicting stands taken by the United Arab Republic and Israel, the situation in the Strait of Tehran represents a very serious potential threat to peace. He also said that this is not the only immediate issue. Other problems such as sabotage and terrorist activities, rights of cultivation in disputed areas in the demilitarized zone between Israel and Syria, unless controlled, almost will surely lead to further serious fighting. In his view, a peaceful outcome to the present crisis will depend upon a breathing spell to allow tension to subside from its present explosive level. He also makes other suggestions, such as increasing UN presence there in the area. This is Pauline Frederick, NBC News at the United Nations.
A power blackout hit the Cincinnati, Ohio area last night when a cable crossing the Ohio River snapped. Cincinnati and the nearby Kentucky cities of Newport and Covington were without electricity. Power was again shut down this morning intentionally to allow workmen to repair the damage. During last night's blackout, there was some looting of Cincinnati's stores. One 18-year-old youth was shot and wounded by an off-duty policeman who said he saw the boy fleeing a store with an armload of clothing. Ceremonies are scheduled to start within the hour at Newport News, Virginia, where 9-year-old Caroline Kennedy will christen the Navy's newest aircraft carrier named in honor of her father. President Johnson, most of the Kennedy family, and dozens of high-ranking Washington and Navy figures will be on hand. NBC Radio and Television will cover the ceremony live, television coverage in color. From Plymouth, England, word that Sir Francis Chichester and his Gypsy Moth the Fourth are experiencing a drop in the wind, which could delay their expected arrival home from a round-the-world voyage. A spokesman for the Royal Navy said the 65-year-old Chichester was about 170 miles west-southwest of Plymouth. His solo circumnavigation started last August. This is Russ Ward, NBC News, Washington.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. New York area news next on the conversation station, WNBC New York.
Hey, miss.
Yes?
Where do I catch the Boston Yellowbird?
Right here, sir. Northeast Airlines. All jets leaving at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30.
Here's a treat that's hard to beat. Two Wetson's government-inspected all-beef burgers topped with velvety smooth cheese on a toasted bun. Love that Wetson's cheeseburger. In Brooklyn, New York, a Wetson's located at the corner of Flatbush Avenue and Empire Boulevard, directly across from the Botanical Garden. At 6 minutes past 11 o'clock at 61 degrees in New York City, this is Jerry Damon with late news of the Metropolitan Area. A 30-year-old Bronx housewife is in critical condition at Jacoby Hospital after her husband allegedly shot her twice during an argument this morning. Police say Nestor Olang shot his wife Carmen while three of their eight children watched. Olang is charged with felonious assault. New York City's public beaches and outdoor swimming pools open for the season today. The weather outlook is favorable for the weekend. A 3-year-old Greek boy named Elias Americanos, who was flown to the U.S. for open heart surgery, died at New York University Hospital during the night, 3 days after the operation. 3,000 New Jersey Army reservists are flying by commercial airplanes today to Fort Knox, Kentucky, for 2 weeks of field training. They are members of the state's only Army Reserve unit, the 78th or Lightning Division. There were delays in the New York Central's Harlem Division line this morning because an empty runaway taxicab wound up stalled on the tracks in Hartsdale. The cab slipped out of gear and rolled across the tracks while the driver was buying a paper. The weather, 61 degrees and sunny at Radio City, humidity 42%, the barometer falling, wind from the northwest at 7 miles an hour. Mostly sunny and milder today is the forecast with a high 65 to 70. Fair tonight and tomorrow, the low tonight around 50, high tomorrow 65 to 70, and again clear and sunny. This is Jerry Damon.
Now a message meant for you.
Get with living the exciting way. Drink sparkling champagne like nothing else you ever tasted. Nothing else except champagne. So put more sparkle in your life today with sparkling champagne.
Sophisticated? You'll feel that way with champagne. C-H-A-M-P-A-L-E. Tastes like champagne. Buy it wherever beer is sold. Costs just pennies more. Sparkling Champagne Malt Liquor, Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey.
Don't move, just leave your dime out. This beer's gonna turn. Lean back and stay a while now. This beer's gonna turn.
Hi, Gene Rayburn with Monitor 67 on the weekend before the biggest event in American auto racing, the Indianapolis 500 on Memorial Day. And we'll have a report in Sport of Speed just 2 minutes down the Saturday road. To get us off now to a flying fast start, here's Don Costa with Ilya Darling.
hey, to your little troubles away. Hi ho, hey, hey, to Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Work goes faster, smoother too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi ho, hey, hey, to Wrigley's Spearmint Gum.
Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do.
Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum.
Now, auto racing fans, stand by as Mel Allen calls for the start of this weekend's first report on your favorite sport.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me say this to you. You know, there's a good reason, a very good reason, why we always suggest that you try a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Now, that's not just idle talk. It's not just another commercial claim. It's a proven fact that crude oil from the wells of the Pennsylvania region produces motor oils of superior lubricity, or oiliness. Pennsylvania motor oils are today's best motor oils because they start with nature's best crude. Can you imagine what happens to inferior oil when it's being thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Well, you can be sure your car's engine is really protected when you choose a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. It holds up. And say, don't forget about those rally kits the refiners of Pennsylvania motor oils are offering to sports car clubs. You get 6 checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 sanctioned rally scoring slips. To get a rally kit for your club, send $1 to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. Sport of Speed originates this weekend at the Charlotte, North Carolina Motor Speedway, where the city entertains thousands here for the running tomorrow of the world's longest late-model stock car race, the World 600. Back in Indianapolis, speculation as to the possible winner of the 51st running of the 500 has never been so diverse. To quote Mario Andretti, the big favorites are the drivers in the first 7 positions. Myself, Dan Gurney, Gordon Johncock, A.J. Foyt, Joe Leonard, Parnelli Jones, and Lloyd Ruby, end quote. There is no question that Parnelli Jones in the Granatelli turbine-powered car is the big threat. The car's great advantages will show in the race. From the start, he should be able to run at his qualifying speed. His car will be about 250 pounds lighter, since he will need to carry so much less fuel. Parnelli and Granatelli poo-poo any suggestion that they will have a problem with brakes. As a matter of fact, with 2 pit stops mandatory, new brake biscuits can be installed in jig time with an efficient pit crew on hand. And Annie Granatelli is nothing if not efficient. I look for many records to be broken, indeed, as they have already. One record that will be set is that of broadcast anchorman Sid Collins, who will be doing his 20th consecutive annual network feed. Congratulations to Sid. Here at Charlotte, tire wear is going to be the problem. Cale Yarborough earned the pole with a record-shattering 154.384-mile-an-hour speed in the Woods Brothers 67 Ford Fairlane. Because of the jump in speed made possible by extensive repaving of the mile-and-a-half track, tire wear becomes a factor. The NASCAR drivers during practice have discovered that they pick up 2 miles per hour with new tires and wear rubber. This is going to increase the number of pit stops. This expected rash of pit stops during the early laps of the race is going to play hob with race strategy, which means that in a 600-mile grind, you must play it by ear. Richard Petty is being regarded as a more than prime favorite to win for a number of reasons, not the least of which is his decision to run with a 404 cubic inch Hemi engine instead of the standard 426. The entire Ford factory team is using the 427 dual carburetor wedge power plant. Under NASCAR weight power ratio, Petty's Plymouth has a maximum weight limit of 37,881 pounds compared to 4,000 for Ford and Chrysler. These 400 pounds may be the deciding factor. Other weekend auto racing activities include the Yankee 300 for USAC late model stocks at Indianapolis Raceway Park, and races for the USAC Sprint Division tomorrow over the high paved banks at Winchester, Indiana. This is Ted Webb from Charlotte, North Carolina Motor Speedway.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania Motor Oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
A reminder to you drivers, and I don't mean racing car drivers. This is one of those long holiday weekends on which the wrong kinds of records are established. Record death and accident totals. Please drive with extra care and courtesy. Where are you rushing to anyway? You think about that. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
See Mary. See the smudge on Mary's nose. Hear Mary.
Gee.
See Mary smear the smudge with a dry pocket tissue. Hear Mary.
Gee.
Do you have a nose that smudges? Then hear this.
When you run into dirt, don't wait for water. Clean up quick with wash and dry.
Wet, cool wash and dry cleans you up. Refreshes you like no dry pocket tissue ever could. From a tiny foil packet, a wash and dry towelette opens up 15 times its original size. Perfect for a wet, cool cleanup or fresh up at work, at picnics, wherever there's no soap and water. Wash and dry is new from Colgate Palmolive. Hear Mary cleaning her smudgy nose with a wet wash and dry.
Gee!
Do you have a nose that smudges? Then hear this.
When you run into dirt, don't wait for water. Clean up quick with wash and dry.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of entertainment.
Gene Rayburn with you on monitor, and it's 18 minutes past the hour.
Boy, this judo is rough, but I've got to learn it, because next girl that tries to overpower me, pow! All these girls want to do is kiss me. Kiss, kiss, kiss. And I used to be a loser. No, what is this fatal magnetism I suddenly have? Can it be my new elevator shoes? No. I still part my hair in the middle. So what's new? Except my toothpaste. My Ultra Bright toothpaste. That's it. It's true. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste. A taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste. A taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest. Your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal. And that's Ultra Bright.
I'm telling you, after Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
All right, now listen carefully. Whose voice is this?
What main thing has made you sick? And I said, people who ask questions like you. You idiot. You know, not really.
The outspoken lady was... Right, Judy Garland. And she was in a plane circling London Airport at the time in 1963. This is just one of the literally thousands of amusing, provocative, sometimes profound comments that people have made on Monitor in the almost 12 years we've been on the air. 2 weekends from now, when we celebrate that golden dozen, we'll bring you the cream of our notable quotes, as well as hear greetings from scores of celebrated friends, among them Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Audrey Hepburn, Jimmy Durante, Johnny Carson, bring you some highly educated guesses on what the years ahead may bring, as well as continue to cover what's happening in the weekend's world. And as an extra, Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen, prize-winning songwriters, we'll compose a brand new song on the air, so everybody, you come to the party. Monitor's 12th, 2 weekends from this one. Now a Monitor News special for a report on United Nations Secretary General U Thant's statement about the Middle East situation just a short while ago. We switch to Pauline Fredericks, NBC News at the United Nations.
Secretary General Thant has asked the Security Council to examine the whole Middle East situation going back to the armistice agreements of 1949. He would like the Council to declare there must be a ceasefire and an end to further acts of hostilities under Chapter 7 of the Charter. That is the chapter which contains provisions for use of force to carry out the Council's decisions. The Secretary General found the Egyptian point of view in Cairo very much the same as that presented by President Nasser in his recent speech to the Air Force. He said that in view that the situation in the Strait of Tiran between the United Arab Republic and Israel represents a very serious potential threat to the peace. But the freedom of navigation through the strait is not, however, the only immediate issue endangering peace. Other problems, such as sabotage and terrorist activities and rights of cultivation in disputed areas in the demilitarized zone between Israel and Syria, will, unless controlled, said the Secretary General, almost surely lead to further serious fighting. He said, in his view, a peaceful outcome to the present crisis will depend on a breathing spell, which will allow tension to subside from its present explosive level. He also expressed the hope that the Egypt-Israel Mixed Armistice Commission would be able to provide a limited form of United Nations presence in the area. And for it to do so, Israel, he hoped, would cooperate with this organization, which it has refused to do since 1956. The Secretary General expressed the view that the Security Council should take up this whole matter, and with the cooperation of all parties concerned, the United Nations and the Security Council in particular, that it would eventually be able to find reasonable, peaceful, and just solutions. This is Pauline Frederick, NBC News of the United Nations.
For further developments in this and all other important news stories, stay tuned to Monitor and NBC.
Mr. Quinn?
Who should I be? And what's it to you?
I'm doing a survey of Cub Cadet owners. You have a 12-horsepower cadet tractor with hydrostatic transmission. Is that right?
And if I do?
You know, we say it's not a toy, but a tractor, built for keeps. Built like the big IH tractors, you know?
If you say so.
And how it zips through all your chores? Mowing, towing, clearing snow, garden work. Leaves you all that extra free time for yourself?
So if it does?
Well, what do you do with that extra time, Mr. Quinn? It leaves you more hours for your hobbies?
And why should you ask?
Just a survey, Mr. Quinn. Just, I'll forget it. Thanks very much for your time.
Not at all, young man. Just glad I could be of help.
Here's a bonus for you. Buy a new Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractor, 7, 10, or 12 horsepower, anytime before July 1st from a participating dealer. You'll get an international rotary mower free. To find your cadet dealer, phone Western Union. Ask for operator 25. Musician, Winding, Penny Lane the song, and Axel Street in the Beatles' hometown, Liverpool, which may explain what all the cheering was about. Something else to cheer is the fine organization known as the Lions International, which is celebrating its golden anniversary. Monitor congratulates the Lions on its 50th birthday.
Taste that beats the others go, Pepsi pours it on.
Now, Dacron by DuPont, a man's way to stay neat with style, presents Monitor on stage. Monitor on stage, star performances recorded live at leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls throughout the world. You'll be hearing from Judy Garland and daughter Liza Minnelli in just 1 minute.
Weather so hot, you want to holler? Easy look like $1 million. Wear a suit that's made with Dacron. The only way to keep your cool, man. Goodbye, wrinkled Dacron, chase you away. Hello, neatness, Dacron make you stay. When you buy a suit today, Dacron is the word to say. I say Dacron, man, fabric is right up to the minute. When a suit has Dacron in it, name your style and pick your brand. The choice is best in all the land. Goodbye, wrinkle, Dacron chase you away. Hello, neatness, Dacron make you stay. When you buy a suit today, Dacron is the word to say. I say Dacron. Dacron polyester, man. By DuPont.
See fine tailored suits with Dacron by the Palm Beach Company at your favorite store now. And now front and center and monitor on stage in the performance that really rocked the famous London Palladium, Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli with a song Al Jolson made famous, Swanee. From Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli later today and monitor on stage. Right now, this word about fine tailored suits with Dacron by the Palm Beach Company. Scorching summer predicted. Don't grimace and bear it. Get a Palm Beach suit of 65% Dacron polyester and 35% worsted wool. Even on the hottest days, it'll stay as well pressed as it was the day you tried it on. Palm Beach suits are about $50, but look and act as though they cost much more. Treat yourself royally. Enjoy cool, crisp Palm Beach with Dacron.
When you shop for suit today, Dacron is the word to say. I said Dacron, man, by DuPont.
Brief pause in Monitor's merry meanderings through this May weekend while you hear from your neighborhood stations on the NBC line. In Idaho, KIDO serves Boise and Treasure Valley. Gene Rayburn at your service again shortly.
Here Dunninger with his telepathic readings on Sunday Night Monitor, tomorrow on the NBC Radio Network.
Oh, three more pages to type, and it's 5:30 already. I have to meet Courtney at 6, Haskell at 7:30, Ashley taking me out to dine at 9. How in the world did I ever get so popular? I still talk too much. I still hate rock and roll. I'm still me. Except for the Ultra Bright toothpaste. That's it! My Ultra Bright toothpaste! It works! Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal!
New Ultra Bright toothpaste. A taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste. A taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest, your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal. And that's Ultra Bright.
It's true. After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
Gene Rayburn here with Monitor 67, and in 9 minutes, we'll be going to Newport News, Virginia, for the launching of the new aircraft carrier, John F. Kennedy. President Johnson will speak. Mrs. John F. Kennedy will participate. The late president's daughter, Caroline, will christen the ship, so stay with NBC Radio for complete coverage of the ceremonies. Right now, Monitor Music by Tommy Barrett, a tune titled Courtin'.
Thank you. that's the champagne of bottled beer.
Miller High Life always sparkles with full-bodied flavor. Flavor millions more are asking for because it satisfies a deep-down demand for the very finest.
Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer. Sparkling, flavorful, and distinctive.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee. Now, Monitor Goes Fishing with Lindsay Nelson, brought to you by DuPont Stren Fluorescent Monofilament Fishing Line. You see it, fish miss it. Here's Lindsay.
The Mississippi River is called the Father of Waters, and there's a growing legion of sportsmen who swear that its delta is the daddy of all big game fishing grounds. Monitor talked with the man who might be considered the captain of that army, and he'll be with us after we hear from another fine fisherman, Gene Shepherd.
Okay, you lay your lure out there next to a lily pad. A fish shoots upwards. He strikes. If you have a fishing line that stretches a little too much, you're going to find yourself in trouble setting that hook. You only have a millisecond or two to work with. DuPont Stren gives you that minimum of stretch. And that instant of impact, that instant of strike, that moment of truth, you are really in control. Stren. S-T-R-E-N. It's murder on fish, but is it fantastic for fishermen? One day, I suspect they may make it illegal, but you might as well go all the way with it while you can. It's fluorescent. You can see it. The fish is in trouble the minute you put Stren on your reel. S-T-R-E-N. Try to spell it yourself. It's easy.
A man who has a lot to do with the spreading of the good word about the glories of fishing down where the Mississippi River flows into the Gulf of Mexico is Hurley Campbell, who wears three hats, as outdoor writer for the Baton Rouge, Louisiana Morning Advocate, as editor of the magazine Southern Outdoors, and as a national vice president of the Outdoor Writers Association of America. Monitor reporter Jules Demacourt talked with him.
Hurley, for a starter, we hear a lot about this delta fishing out in the mouth of the river. What's the story on that?
Well, Jules, the delta, you know, is formed by the Mississippi and the mud that's accumulated in it and has deposited it in the Gulf where it flows out. And this, of course, is just a natural feed supplier for the fish, the small fish that wait around the mouth of the river, and the big fish come in after them. Fortunately, just off the South Pass here in Louisiana, out just a very few miles, relatively, you have a tremendous drop-off to about 1,000 fathoms, and the Gulf Stream swirls in, curves in the shore here. And this is where the big fish are to be found, the marlin, the tuna, the sail, the wahoo, dolphin, you name it, it's down there.
How big are these fish out there?
Well, your marlin, I think now the state record's around 700-800 pounds. Just a few years, 2 years ago, I think it was, a lady from Texas set a new world record for wahoo, well over 100 pounds. The charter captains down there who are after the blue marlin, which is the real game fish, they consider a dolphin of 25, 30, 35, 40 pounds as nuisances and actually cut lines to get them off because they want marlin.
How far do you have to go out to get them?
It varies anywhere from 5 to 40 miles out of the mouth of the pass.
And what kind of tackle do you have to use for the big ones?
You use big tackle for big fish, because when you're hitting something that 400 to 700 or 800 pounds, you've got to have heavy stuff. Most of the charter captains use the big 12-aught reels with 130-pound test line when they're after marlin.
Hurley, that sounds like quite an adventure out there. Can you make it a family affair?
It could be a family vacation, but it isn't the one that a lot of people would pick.
Well, let's move in closer to shore. There's a lot of fishing around Pirate Jean Lafitte's hangout out at Grand Isle. What's that like?
Well, now, this would be more of a family affair as I see it. You have the motels and the accommodations. And here you have surf fishing, you have charter boat fishing, especially around the oil rigs that dot the surface of the Gulf. We have thousands of them out there. They serve as built-in reefs. We don't have to dump car bodies or anything. We've got the fish out of Grand Isle.
That's also the scene of some big saltwater tournaments, I believe.
Yes, in July, about the third week in July, you have the big Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, which is one of the bigger saltwater tournaments anywhere in the Gulf.
Well, when I ask you a loaded question now, I want to turn from saltwater to freshwater and ask you first, which do you like better?
It just depends on which I'm closest to and which I can do.
You're just a fisherman, period. Huh?
Period.
Hurley Campbell, a fisherman after my own heart. All the punctuation he needs is a period. He lets the fish provide the exclamation marks. This is Monitor Goes Fishing. I'm Lindsay Nelson, and here's a word for DuPont Stren.
Ever wonder if your fishing line scares away fish? You use Stren fluorescent monofilament and stop wondering. It's almost invisible to fish. That's because Stren glows soft blue. To the fish below, it blends in with the color of the sky, but to you it stands out clearly against any background. Stren by DuPont is strong and abrasion-resistant. It's limp yet has low stretch. It has outstanding knot strength and impact resistance. Buy Stren fluorescent fishing line wherever fine sporting goods are sold. This is Monitor. I'm Gene Rayburn, and in just a minute from Newport News, Virginia, an NBC News special, the launching of aircraft carrier John F. Kennedy. Be sure to listen.
This is the NBC Radio Network.
Now see Major League Professional Soccer at its best. See the New York Skyliners, represented by Ciro of Uruguay, battle actual world-famous teams including Cagliari of Italy, Bangu of Brazil, Edo of Holland, now joined together in the United Soccer Association. All home games played at Yankee Stadium, tickets from $2 to $6 at the stadium, and by mail or box office, Madison Square Garden. Next game, tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m., Skyliners versus Toronto entry, the Hibernians of Scotland. Get tickets now.
Hey, miss, is it true Northeast is all jets to Boston now?
Yes, sir. Brand new Yellowbirds with hot food and cold drinks every hour on the half hour. 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30.
At this time, we interrupt our FM program schedule to bring you a special program of the launching of the aircraft carrier John F. Kennedy. Regular FM programming will resume at the end of the ceremonies. WNBC puts you in the driver's seat with exclusive straightaway coverage of the Indianapolis 500 Memorial Day, noon to 4, on WNBC AM and FM New York. The time, 11:45.
This is NBC News, the launching of the carrier John F. Kennedy.
NBC Radio News presents a special broadcast on the launching of an aircraft carrier named after the late President John F. Kennedy. Here is NBC News correspondent Russ Ward.
On Monday, day after tomorrow, John F. Kennedy would have been 50 years old. Today, the nation is honoring the memory of its 35th president with one of the biggest gifts in the world, a 64,000-ton aircraft carrier named for him. The biggest crowd in the history of the Newport News Virginia Shipbuilding Company is gathered this morning for the ceremony. The line started forming shortly after 6 o'clock outside the gates, which didn't open until 10. The central figures in today's ceremony are President Johnson, who will deliver a brief address, and members of the Kennedy family, about 24 of them, including the late president's widow, Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, and her two children, Caroline and John Jr. 9-year-old Caroline will actually christen the vessel. The Kennedys arrived a short time ago, Mrs. Kennedy and her children escorted by Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. They were given, Mrs. Kennedy, Caroline, and John were given a standing ovation by the great throng of people gathered here at the Newport News Shipbuilding Corporation, about 35,000, perhaps more, gathered for this ceremony, the largest crowd ever assembled here. Senator Ted Kennedy and his wife, Senator Robert Kennedy and his wife, Mrs. Rose Kennedy, Cardinal Cushing, many close members, close friends of the family, and members of the family all gathered here for a ceremony that is to start in just a few minutes. Also, official Washington is represented. Paul Nitzes, Secretary of the Navy. Admiral David McDonnell, Chief of Naval Operations. Alan Boyd, Secretary of Transportation. Chief Justice Earl Warren, and many others. We mentioned that Defense Secretary Robert McNamara escorted Mrs. Kennedy to the platform. It's a perfect day for a ship launching. In fact, a perfect day. Temperature near 70 degrees, a gentle breeze blowing. And certainly, this is an important moment in the history of this country. Now, young John Kennedy Jr. stepping forward. And the arrival of President Johnson greeting the crowd as he walks forward toward the platform.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
President now walking up the platform with the late president's mother. President Johnson now takes his place at the speaker's platform as the crowd applauds. The assembled VIPs now take their seats on the speaker's platform. just to President Johnson's right, Mrs. Rose Kennedy, to the president's left, Mrs. John F. Kennedy, and the Kennedy children. A ceremony that's starting just about on schedule. They want to launch the ship at high tide, which comes very early this afternoon, so they can't delay things beyond a critical period here. The ceremony's now about to start.
Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
As ceremonies.
It is my pleasure at this time to present Mr. Donald A. Holden, President and Chairman of the Board, Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. Mr. Holden.
Mr. Kennedy, Mr. President, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the stockholders and employees of the Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the christening of the attack aircraft carrier John F. Kennedy on this very typically beautiful Virginia spring morning. We are most honored to have so many distinguished people here with us today to share the occasion. We were naturally pleased some 3 years ago when we rather prosaically signed the contract for the CVA 67, which we won in competitive bidding. But the job took an additional air of challenge when the famous name of John F. Kennedy was assigned to it shortly thereafter. This vessel is the 20th attack aircraft carrier to be built by this company during the 36 years that we have been constructing this type of vessel. She's being built with all the skills and experience acquired by our craftsmen and engineers here at Newport News, through three generations of shipbuilding in the largest shipyard in the world. It can also be said that the John F. Kennedy is a product of tens of thousands of Americans in all parts of our country. Materials and equipment for her construction have been supplied by companies located in 352 cities in 38 states, and all have worked toward one common goal, to produce the finest ship afloat for our great Navy. In general appearance, this vessel is similar to other carriers of the Forrestal class. However, when completed, she will be the most awesome and effective naval weapon on the seas. Her crew will number over 5,200, and they will handle and control the most modern aircraft and load them with the latest in armament. They will launch these aircraft from improved catapults and direct the aircraft strike force and the operations of the carrier task force through the latest in electronics and communications equipment. It is no small task to build a ship of this size and complexity, and it is a real challenge, too, and a demonstration of American shipbuilding capability. I wish to express my personal appreciation to the Newport News team of engineers and craftsmen who are, in my opinion, the finest anywhere. The John F. Kennedy will... John F. Kennedy will be commissioned and enter service in our Navy the middle of next year. And I'm sure when she becomes operational, she will prove worthy of the proud name that she bears. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure at this time to call on another native of Massachusetts who finished Harvard some few years back, went into business, and then went into government service, and has spent, all told, some 17 years in the service of the government in defense and State Department and foreign affairs work prior to being appointed in 1963 as Secretary of the Navy, the 59th one. It's my pleasure at this time to ask the Honorable Paul H. Nitze, Secretary of the Navy, to introduce our speaker.
Today, we commemorate a beloved former president and a former naval officer by giving his name, John F. Kennedy, to this magnificent ship. On behalf of all personnel in the naval establishment, civilian and military, uniformed and civilian, officers and enlisted, it is an honor to introduce another former naval officer, our great president, the President of the United States, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Mrs. Kennedy, Carolyn and John, Mrs. Joseph Kennedy, Senators Kennedy and other members of the Kennedy family, Secretary McNamara, Secretary Nitze, Mr. Holden, distinguished platform guests, ladies and gentlemen. In March 1943, almost a quarter of a century ago, a young naval lieutenant assumed his first command, a tiny PT boat, and sailed intrepidly into the savage battle for the Solomons. Next year, 5,000 Americans will put to sea in this giant ship that's named John F. Kennedy, for whom the voyage of destiny began in the Solomons and ended tragically at the pinnacle of national affection and respect, the presidency of the United States. This is the third carrier since the end of the Second World War to bear the name of a man. Carriers are normally named for famous battles or great ships of the past. Its only companions are named for Franklin Delano Roosevelt and James V. Forrestal. And this is highly appropriate because these three singular men had a great deal in common. Each of them died in the service of his country. Each of them understood that whatever the risk, men must defend freedom, the leaven in the bread of life that alone makes true peace possible. Each of them believed in John Kennedy's moving words, "It is the fate of this generation to live with a struggle that we did not start in a world that we did not make." But the pressures of life are not always distributed by choice. And while no nation has ever been faced by such a challenge, no nation has ever been so ready to seize the burden and the glory of freedom. To face that challenge, John Kennedy knew, took strength as well as idealism. He knew it as a student who saw the failure of appeasement in the 1930s. He knew it as a naval officer in the South Pacific. He knew it as President of the United States. And because John Kennedy understood that strength is essential to sustain freedom, because he recognized that we cannot afford to mark time to stand in place, he requested funds for this carrier from the Congress in 1963. In the year 2000 and beyond, this majestic ship that we christen here today may still be sailing the oceans of the world. We pray that her years will be years of peace. But if she must fight, both the flag she flies and the name she bears will carry a profound message to friend and to foe alike. For the 5,000 Americans who will man this great ship, and for all of their countrymen whose hopes ride with them, this is a moment of reflection. Today, as throughout our history, we bear faithful responsibilities in the world. From the moment of our national creation, American ideals have served as a beacon to the oppressed and to the enslaved. In times past, it has often been our strength and our resolve which have tipped the scales of conflict against aggressors or would-be aggressors. That role has never been an easy one. It has always required not only strength, but patience. The incredible courage to wait where waiting is appropriate, to avoid disastrous results, to shortcut history, and sacrifice the tragic price that we pay for our commitment to ideals. No president understood this nation's historic role and purpose better than John F. Kennedy. No man knew more deeply the burdens of that role, and no man ever gave more. Let this ship we christen in his name be a testament that his countrymen have not forgotten. Thank you very much.
The crowd once again on its feet, applauding President Lyndon Johnson.
For the invocation, may I present His Eminence Richard Cardinal Cushing, Archbishop of Boston.
Let us pray. O God of might and glory, be present today among us as we dedicate this vessel to the memory of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Our thoughts of him are still fresh in our minds. The vision of his youthful ways are still familiar to us. The love we had for him still has its place in our hearts. May this proud carrier, like the one whose name it bears, recognize always the limitations of human power and be aware that the true test of strength is the cause for which it is employed. The ancient prayer of our people asked, O Lord, make this an instrument of peace.